The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ. As the body of Christ, as the church, we have come to the season of Lent once more. And today, we are just barely started on the fourth and fifth day of Lent. Lent brings to us again, to this place, to this time, through her call and her discipline, asking us to come before God, placing ourselves in his glorious and merciful presence, and claim him again as our God. But you may ask, and you would certainly ask if you're paying close attention, but isn't God always our God anyway? Because he tells us he is the one true God, and there are no gods besides him. This is true, because there is only one true God, and the Lord our God, revealed to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is that one true God. Because there is only one real God, then our God would be our God. There would be no contest. The opportunity here and the call to us is not simply to acknowledge that there is a God, but that we are to claim him as our own through our acknowledgement of him, through our action and our testament, to turn back with mind and heart and tongue to choose the God who saves, who shows mercy, who lifts us up, who gives us life, who heals and shows compassion, and who has chosen us first. To choose this God, this loving, true God, as our God. And if our God is truly God, then we will listen and live according to his will, Otherwise, in our hearts, he is not God, just another voice. But if our God is truly our God, then we will be able to and willing to listen and live according to his will and to turn to him in faith, in our need, in our praise, and in humility. And by claiming God as our God, we are recommitting ourselves to him and opening our lives to be moved by him. We are choosing to place our God in the place that the eternal Creator and Savior deserves, at the center of our lives. We're called in the season of Lent not to move God, but to reorient ourselves to place God at the center of our lives, or as close to the center as we can, closer than he was before, so that at that center of our lives, where we acknowledge God as God, he will be able to work wonders in our hearts and in our lives. Together, we are doing the work necessary, and only by the helpful grace of our loving God to align our hearts, our wills, our minds, and our tongues to be in concert with one another, so that our whole being is in unity with itself, so that we can acclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord and saves, that we can attest that we need salvation. We can say personally for ourselves in the depths of our hearts and even with our tongue, I need salvation and desire my Lord to save me. This is the thrust of Lent, to be able to acknowledge this by placing God at the center of our lives, to turn to him together in community when our voice and our faith can be strengthened and strong, so that we can, both as an individual created child of God and as community, as family of faith, to be able to say, I need salvation and desire my Lord to save me. A heart ready to say this out loud, either in private or amongst others, will also be ready to live a life that reflects this through words and actions. A heart that is able to say this interiorly, to claim it, I need salvation and desire my Lord to save me. A heart ready to say it out loud, to acknowledge it in public, whether there's someone around to hear or not, will also be at the same time be ready to live a life that reflects this acclamation through our words and actions, so that we will be able to live according to what we say, and we can speak according to our heart. We will be ready then to come before the Lord and bow before our God who is and was and will be forever, in a similar manner as what Moses calls to the people to do after acknowledging all of the wonderful works that God had accomplished to bring them out of bondage and into freedom, into the promised land, after together remembering collectively that work of God in the life of his people, we then will be able to bow before our God, who is Lord, our God, the one true God. We will be ready to offer the first fruits of our lives to honor the one who granted them to us, and in thanksgiving for their gift. We will be ready to turn to him in our need, relying on God's perfect will and compassion to answer us in our prayer. We will be ready to live in the shadow of the Almighty, or put it a different way, under God's wing, under his protection, his care, his watchfulness, his love. We will be ready to bring what we have received from God into the world, opening our hearts, our hands, our pockets, our love to the world and those in need, so that we do not selfishly keep what God is offering to us to ourselves, but are willing to become a vehicle of that grace and love to be shared with the world. These are the avenues of action that are at the heart of Lent: prayer, fasting, almsgiving. May we grow in understanding of the riches hidden in Christ. This is the petition we bring before the Lord at the beginning of this Mass. May the revelation of Scripture, may the wisdom and practice of the Church, may the encounter with Jesus Christ in word and sacrament continue to bring us into an understanding and a fervor for the riches hidden in Christ, so that when we discover them, when we can see them clearly, then we will treasure them, we will be able to share them, and our relationship with the one who offers them to us will bear fruit at such an early stage in the season of Lent. Let us allow this opportunity that we have offered the Lord to bear fruit and encourage us in our choice and ability to observe Lent well, to open our hearts to the mysteries of God, to claim our God as our own and place him in the place of our lives that is worthy for him, that is his place, the center of our lives. And let the grace that flows from that decision, from that humble act, that humble desire, flow through us and into the world, so that this season will prepare us to receive the glory of Christ in his resurrection at Easter and become a great gift to the world as we continue to respond to God being our God at the center of our being.